It's a real great privilege to be in Harrison and to be with you and Pastor Brian and to be with Pastor Caleb. It's so privileged for me to be able to be here. I love your church. I've loved your church for a long time. Right after my wife and I were married back in 2004, one of the very first places that we came to preach the word after I felt God called me to be an evangelist was here. I remember what it was like to walk into this room and to see this large sanctuary and to see Pastor Thrasher here and to feel honored just to have the opportunity to be able to preach in this house. And I'm so excited to what God's doing and what God has already done, and knowing that the future days of your church are going to be even better than what you've experienced before. The best, we say, is yet to come. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that God has great things in store for you, in store for Faith, in store for Harrison and your family? I also want to thank you really quickly for your investment in our church. As Pastor Brian mentioned, about a year and a half ago, we moved into a new school and we needed to make some changes, and your church generously gave to that project. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here so I can say thank you for what you've done for us. My name is Jacob Jester. Our church is 4 years old, Compel Church in Glendale, Arizona, just suburb of Phoenix. I wanted to show you a picture of my family so that you can know what I'm all about and know who I am. My family, there's my wife, Kristen. We've been married for almost 14 years. My oldest son, Jude, there, is 10 years old. He was born with a big head. My middle son there, Cruz, is 7 years old. He was also born with a big head. And then my little girl, Indy, right there in the middle, is about 20 months old. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves with the girls, do we? She's 20 months old now, and she was born with a perfectly sized head. We were very excited because after two children with big heads, we wanted a normal-sized headed child. I'm not allowed to say things like this in front of my wife. She started to get to the point where she's like, you know, they're going to remember that you said they had big heads. So since they're not here, I'm just going to say they had big heads and be honest with you guys and just tell you that they did have large heads, but they take after me. My mom says that my head is the same size today as it was the day that I was born. So I've learned to deal with big-headed situations, trouble walking into doors when I was a kid, but so grateful. I want to share with you this morning a message that I believe the Lord put on my heart that will speak to you, and I believe that God wants to speak to your church in a very practical but also a very targeted way. I never come into a church like this and just say, God, I pray that you give me something to say that will be impactful. I do pray that, but I also pray that God will give you something that you can leave this room with, that you can walk out into your day this afternoon and say, this is something God put on my heart. And as you walk into your work week, that you can say, this is something that I heard on Sunday that I can put into practice this week. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 9. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Verse number 9. This particular scripture is found from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. It says this. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I call this message Heaven on Earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your church, to be in your house this morning. God, I pray that you would say things to us that cause us to remember that you are good and that you are gracious and that you are kind. Father, I pray that your promises would go before us, your grace would go before us, God. And I pray that by the time we leave this room, we'll know that we've been in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. See, I believe that Sunday morning is a unique thing. I believe that Sunday morning is meant to be an appetizer to your life. I believe that Sunday morning is meant to be just an appetizer to what God really wants to do in your life. Because if we're living our lives with the purpose of knowing God and to make Him known, there's so much more to walking with Jesus Christ than just Sunday morning. There's something deeper. There's something about my life that is in prayer. There's something about me spending time in the Word every single day. There's something about my life that goes deeper than just a Sunday morning. And if you are living your life simply to come to Sunday morning and not to experience Jesus through the rest of the week, then to come back on Sunday morning, we are missing something about a deeper walk with Jesus Christ if it's only about Sunday morning. So as I share this message with you, I want you to think about Sunday morning morning as being an appetizer. The main course to your walk with Jesus Christ is in the power and the experience of prayer, bringing heaven on this earth. Have you ever watched any of the old movies about King Arthur? Maybe the movie back from the 60s called The Sword and the Stone, one of my favorites. I didn't even realize it by the time I was born in 1980 and I started to see that movie in the mid 80s that it was already 25 years old before I saw that little boy pull the sword out of the stone. The legend of King Arthur is so fantastic because as the story goes, to become the king, Arthur had to pull that sword out of a rock, out of a place where it was cemented into stone. Did you know that many books and movies have been written about King Arthur? And one of the most famous was written by the author named T.H. White. His work is considered by many to be one of the finest fantasy novels ever written. And in the book, it says, on the inscription of King Arthur's grave, it says, "Here lies King Arthur, king once and king to be." When I read that, I thought that it stood in stark contrast to a man named Jesus who was born in a cave in Bethlehem, who was raised in Nazareth, walked on the earth until his first miracle at the age of 30. And from the moment, that moment, the world was changed forever. The Bible says that Jesus died on a cross for the sake of humanity, rose from the grave 3 days later. The Bible also says that the angel posted on Jesus' tomb, "Why are you here looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." I want you to believe with me that Jesus was dead, is alive, was king, is still king, and will be king forevermore. We're talking about a Jesus that is strong. What we're talking about this morning is the now and forever future kingdom of God. Jesus actually talked about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God often. In fact, it was his very first sermon in the Bible that Jesus ever taught. He talked about the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17, it says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd bet that most of us in this room don't walk around in our lives, in our day-to-day doings, thinking about the kingdom of heaven. What you thinking about? Oh, you know. Just thinking about the kingdom of God and its future plans and God's plans for me now as I walk upon the earth. I doubt that most of us spend our days walking around thinking about the kingdom of heaven. See, when Jesus started to preach, the kingdom of God was near. But today, it's here, and yet, it's still coming. And according to Jesus, we should continue to pray for the arrival of the kingdom of heaven. Remember our verse that we started with this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven? And where is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of God is any place where God is king. Anywhere where God is worshiped and proclaimed as the Lord is his kingdom. If God is your king, then the kingdom of God lives in you and the kingdom of God is made real through you. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, your master, and your maker, then the kingdom of God exists through you and the purposes of God that are being brought forth through you. See, Jesus gives us the best explanation about what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Notice the comparison that Jesus says. He says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, what is the state of heaven in comparison to the state of the earth? In heaven, God's perfect will is carried out into perfection. In heaven, there is no sickness, there is no pain or death, there is no division, rebellion, or gossip. In heaven, there are no poor, there are no needy, there are no marginalized, there is no injustice, there are no crooked politicians, bribes, civil wars, tragedy, or natural disasters. In heaven, God is worshiped eternally. He is glorified and he is adored. In heaven, Jesus is recognized as the one true God and his relationship with his children. He is no longer unseen, but in heaven, we will gaze upon the the glory of God, and we will rest in the shadow of the Almighty in heaven. I will spend eternity gazing upon God and His presence, where I will worship Him for all that He's done and everything that He's going to do. There is a future that you and I should look forward to, not to just exist on the earth, but to look forward to a day when Jesus comes to rescue me from what I've got, so that I could spend eternity in the presence of Jesus. Hell is a real place, but I do not look forward to that. I look forward to heaven, spending life with Jesus. There is an opportunity for you and I to really begin to believe that I can be a part of bringing God's kingdom here on earth, so that one day it will be like heaven. I'm a nerd. I'll admit that to y'all right away. And I actually like movies. I like Star Wars. I liked the Lord of the Rings epics. I used to go to all of the midnight shows for the Lord of the Rings when they came out. I went to see the Two Towers with my father. We were living in Springfield, Missouri at the time, and there were tornadoes everywhere. Now, if you're going to go see a three-hour movie, it's best to not go to the midnight show. It's even better not to go during tornadoes. So we went to the midnight show during tornadoes. And as we were going to watch this movie with my father, and we stood in line with all the other hobbits and the people dressed up like Gandalf, we got excited to go see The Lord of the Rings, and I stood in this line for a long time next to Gandalf, who literally came with a long beard, stood there with his staff, looking like Moses getting ready to lead the people across the desert. We got into the movie, and the tornado actually knocked out power at about midnight, right about the time the movie was supposed to start. The tornado knocked out power. And there we are, surrounded by people who've spent days getting ready to look like their favorite character, getting ready to look like Frodo. And can you imagine how people got irritated that the movie didn't start at midnight? I literally saw a guy dressed up like Bilbo Baggins stand in the middle and say, "Not now, it's time to start this movie." People getting irritated. It took an hour for the movie to start. Tornadoes all around us. See, that story doesn't have much of a point, other than for you to know I have a nerd gene that runs deep inside of me. But if you've ever watched one of those big fantasy movies, you know that there's always a theme. It's good versus evil. The good in those who choose to no longer endure but move forward to advance the agenda of the good king. We recognize somewhere deep inside of our psyche that the world that you and I live in is an upheaval. And we long for the day when good will overcome evil. In that sense, I would propose to you that you do think about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, we long for it. We long to experience a God who will come and bring justice to this earth. We long for the day when injustice will end, when racism will end, when poverty will end. We long for that day. We long for the day when we don't have to wonder about where our next paycheck is going to come from. We long to experience those moments in our life. But right now, maybe you would agree with me that the earth doesn't look much like heaven, does it? But here's the good news. The good news is that anywhere Jesus is made known and in anyone that Jesus is king, the kingdom of heaven partially reflects the heavenly kingdom. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and He lives within you and He dwells within you. When a Bible-believing church who's worshiping God in spirit and in truth and is reaching out into the community, proclaiming God and taking action, there the kingdom of heaven lives. The kingdom of heaven exists at Harrison Faith Church. Why? Because you and I are not content to sit back and rest on our heels, but we want to see a city and a county and a state experience the love of God. There, the kingdom of heaven will advance. And you and I, we are building something greater than ourselves. It's not about you and me. It's about Jesus. And how better for Jesus to be made known than if we help build His kingdom? See, we know that one day Jesus will return to finish the job that He started 2,000 years ago, to establish His kingdom here on this earth. In Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15, "Then the seventh angel blew the trumpet, and there were loud voices in the heavens saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.'" See, whenever we talk about the kingdom of heaven, and we talk about heaven, most people say, I want to go there. It's far better than the alternative. And yet we don't even understand most of the time what heaven will be like. Will I be bored? Is my mansion going to be big? Because Jesus said, I really love 5 bedrooms and 3 baths. Will I have to live with my parents? Do they have to live on the same street? Do dogs go to heaven? See, if we're thinking that Jesus is a chubby baby wrapped in Pampers and flying through the clouds on a harp, we have finally started to be confused about the actual image of Jesus. He is a strong and a magnificent Lord who is coming to establish his kingdom here on this earth. I'm afraid that from time to time, we have started to give praise and honor to the image of Jesus that really isn't who Jesus is. We've started to worship the image of a fluffy Jesus who floats on the clouds and gives me everything that I want. But the alternative is more true. The alternative is that the Jesus that you and I worship is a strong God who comes in power, who comes in authority, who will come riding on the back of a horse, who's coming to take the world by storm. He's taken my life by storm. He's taken your life by storm. How are you and I going to live our lives with respect and honor for a shallow and a hollow Jesus? We do not respect someone who isn't strong. So choose this morning to begin to worship the image of an almighty God, because an almighty God will change the outcome of your life. A shallow Jesus causes you to live your life shallow, but an almighty God causes you to live your life with respect for the almighty things he's doing in you and through you. How are you and I going to live from this moment forward? When Jesus comes back, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and our bodies will be physically glorified, and God will live among his people, and we will rest in the presence of God forever. And this is exciting. It's exciting. It's the idea of everything being new that creates feelings of hope and expectancy. That's why we don't fear death, because to leave this earth is to be in the presence of God. To leave this earth is to be in the presence of God. We don't hope for position or popularity. We hope in the name of Jesus. We hope in the name of Jesus. My job won't save me. My career won't save me, but only Jesus Christ will bring me from what I've experienced into new life with him. Don't allow your past to keep you from experiencing the good things that God has for you. We finally start to appreciate what Paul said when he said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm 37 years old. And yet I remember so, so vividly laying in bed in my home at night, knowing that tomorrow all the kids were going to go to Magic Springs. I remember laying there and thinking to myself, Lord, I love you. I do. But tomorrow we're all going to go to Magic Springs. And I want you to come back. But could you wait one more day to come back? Just one more day. Lord, I'm so excited for my wedding. I'm 23 years old. I'm so excited to marry the love of my life. Now I've been married to you for 14 years. I'm so excited to marry the love of my life. Tell me you haven't done this. And I want you to come back, Jesus, because you're my best friend. I love you so much, and I want you to come back. But if you would wait for one more day. We're literally praying for Jesus to hold off his coming so that we could get married, so we go to Magic Springs, so we get that paycheck. Lord, I know Friday's coming. It's Wednesday. Saturday wouldn't be long. We could do a lot with that money on Friday afternoon. Saturday morning, come, Lord Jesus. Friday afternoon, wait just a little bit. We are literally praying to put off the coming of God. But when we begin to understand and value eternal possibilities, the problems and concerns of this world seem to finally slip away, don't they? I don't begin to worry about my 401k as much. I don't begin to worry about keeping up with the Joneses as much. Not looking to politicians to lead me to where God wants me to be. But having the hope for when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom, so I can begin to say, regardless of the situation, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. I want to spend eternity with you. But some would say, isn't that just escapism? Shouldn't we work to make earth a better place while we are here? And the answer is yes. You should do everything you can to make the earth that you live in a better place, a better experience for people around you, so that your neighbors finally become confused about the new life that you're living. So that the people in your workplace start to look at you and say, listen, I remember what you were like a year ago, but now you are different. See, if you and I live the same way that we lived a year ago after having experienced Jesus, perhaps there's something that needs to be tweaked inside of our lives. There's more, there is more to God than just Sunday morning. There is a deeper experience with him that you and I should begin to experience. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on the earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think about the other world that they've become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. When we keep our hearts set on heaven and our feet planted solidly on this ground, we can begin to make the impact on earth that we were born to make. It's March. There are 9.5 months left in this year. So the question I have for you this morning is, are you willing to be a kingdom builder? Do you want to be a person who helps build the kingdom of God? Every person can be a kingdom builder, but not everyone is. Whose kingdom are you building? God's kingdom or your own kingdom? See, Satan is vile and he's crafty and he will tell you that you need comfort. And why don't you work on you for a little while? You don't need to serve. Why don't you work on you for just a little while? Man, getting up early on Sunday morning, that takes a little bit more time. So girl, you work on you, bro. It's been a long week. Why don't you just work on you? See, my kingdom is where we get stuck. My kingdom is working to build my dreams and my ambitions, my once upon a time hopes, my fame and my wealth. God's kingdom, it says, I will build my house on his foundation. And if I build my wealth, then I will increase it my generosity. I will work to make the name of Jesus famous. You will experience no greater joy and no greater fulfillment than when you make Jesus the center of everything that you are. Make Jesus the center of your life. And the Bible says that all these things will be added unto you. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. What C.S. Lewis was saying is that if you build God's kingdom, you get all the natural thrown in, but you build your kingdom and you'll end up with nothing. How can we build God's kingdom this year? How can you and I, with 9.5 months left on earth, with 9.5 months left on earth in 2018, how can we build God's kingdom this year? Number one, you can learn to build the kingdom in your heart. Pray first and foremost, your will be done. It's a constant ongoing battle between what I want versus your will be done. My wants, my needs are always going to have preeminence. They're going to want to have preeminence in my life. But when I start to pray, God, not my will, but your will be done, my life begins to take on a new meaning. It begins to take on no hope. It begins to take on new joy because I'm not living for me. I'm living for Jesus. And when I live for Jesus, it becomes all about his promises, his desires in me and for me. Number two, you can build the kingdom with your actions. Live out the kingdom this year. Seek to end injustice. Feed the hungry, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your annoying coworker as yourself. You know that Bob is very irritating. You know that Bob constantly is asking me for $5. I want $5. And Bob wants $5 from me every day for a snack. What can he do with $5? Love your neighbor as yourself is one of the greatest challenges that you will face in walking and building the kingdom of God. Because as you begin to love people, you begin to realize how God first loved you. Loving people is the first step to finally beginning to understand the power of God's love for you. Number three, build the kingdom with your resources this year at Harrison Faith. I assure you, Pastor Brian did not ask me to share this. Give God your time, your talent, and your treasure. Don't allow your talent to go to waste in the kingdom of God. Man, you play the guitar? Come play and lead people into the presence of Jesus. You can sing? Come sing and lead people into the presence of Jesus. You can hold a sign? Go hold a sign in the parking lot and say, "Welcome home. I'm so glad you're here." Why is that important? It's important because people are looking for a home. They're looking to know that there is more to this life, more than the struggle, more than the daily grind. They're looking to know that Jesus is real, that He is Lord, that He is Savior. And what happens when you and I create a home where hope is found? We experience God's love in return. Because I'm not just holding a sign. I'm telling someone who's away from God, this is where you can find Him. This place is where you can find Him. Don't allow your talent to go to waste in the kingdom of God. God's economy is a pay it forward economy. Number four, build the kingdom with your words. Maybe you've heard the old saying, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. Friends, sometimes it's necessary to use words. Sometimes it's necessary for you to invite people to church, to share your testimony with them, to use social media to tell people about what God's doing in your life. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and brought it in. Maybe you look at me, Jacob, and say, "Jacob, that's fine for you in Arizona. That's fine for you, and you're asking a whole lot of me." Love God. Love people. Give of your resources. It sounds costly, and it is. But it's worth it for the sake of those who still do not know Him yet. See, church people are a little different sometimes. I have a dream at my church, like Pastor Brian has. I have a dream not to fill this church with church people. My dream is to have a church filled with kingdom people. Kingdom people who want to build His kingdom here on earth. See, church people have a us mentality. Kingdom people look toward them. Church people try to protect this kingdom. Kingdom people use what they have to reach more people. Church people worry about how the world will affect the church. Kingdom people work to get the church out into the world. Is Jesus your King? Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Master? If He is, then help build His kingdom here on earth. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. There is no way that your family is going to falter and to fail if you are building God's kingdom with your children. What about my kids? That's the reason this youth ministry exists. That's the reason our kids' programs here at Harrison Faith exist, so that you and I can be a part of building the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have needs. And when we have needs, what does Jesus do? Jesus points us back to the kingdom, because everything we need is found in the King. It's a simple question. The simple question, balcony, how are y'all? I forgot you were up there. Whose kingdom are you building? in 2018. I want you to bow your heads all over the room and don't look around for just a moment. Just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and we're going to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. We're going to spend some time just seeking His face. As I've been strong with you today. See, you have helped Compel Church. You have helped our church in Arizona fulfill part of God's plan for our lives. I feel like I know this church. I've known Pastor Brian for a long time. I've known Pastor Caleb for a long time. I've actually known Morgan since she was 12 years old. I feel like I know this church. I feel like I know the heart that God has for this church. I feel like I know the dreams and the destiny God has for you and for building His kingdom in Harrison. And I need you to look deep inside your heart right now and say, Lord Jesus, what am I doing? Am I building my kingdom or am I building God's kingdom? We always want to say, but it matters how I take care of my kids. And yes, it does. It matters how I take care of my health. Yes, it does. It matters how I take care of my spouse. Absolutely, it does. It matters where you put your generosity. It matters what you give to. Yes, it does. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God, then all the things that we want, Scripture says, all the things that we hope for, as I become the example God's called me to be, as I become the leader in my family, the husband I was meant to be. Seek first God's kingdom, and all these other things will be added to you. Whose kingdom in 2018 are you building? Your home or God's house? If you build God's house, He will build yours.